Hey everybody, it's Brandon with Cigars and Cinema, and I'm talking to you today before we start about one of our sponsors, Calypso Cigar Shop and Lounge in Richardson, Texas. These guys have been supporting our podcast for years, back in the day when it was the Calypso Cigar Review Show, and now as Cigars in Cinema, so we'd really appreciate it if you would support them. Give Matt over there at the Calypso Cigar Shop and Lounge a call at 972-761-9903 and order some cigars. And hey, if you happen to be in Richardson and you want to stop by, go by 1401 East Arapaho Road, Suite E in Richardson, Texas, and talk to Matt yourself. It's a great shop full of great people and great cigars, and we appreciate the support. Now on to the show. Cigars in Cinema.
Will you bring in the cigars, please?
The movie review podcast that tackles the smoky side of cinema.
Cigar, Mike!
Each week, we review a movie that contains, in some way, shape, or form, someone smoking a cigar.
Cigars.
Fire is good.
We'll talk about who smoked it, where they smoked it, how they smoked it, and we'll probably make fun of them if they have no idea what they're doing.
What are you doing?
You never light a cigar that way.
So sit back, light up, and enjoy the podcast that has it all. Cigars.
Cigar. Smoke it.
Smoke it.
Movies.
Say hello to my little friend.
And general mayhem.
My doggie. Wah!
Hey, everybody. This is Brandon Luna.
Randy Rankin.
And this is Cigars in Cinema. In today's episode, Young Frankenstein.
It's coming. From the deep, dark recesses of the mind of Mel Brooks.
I love him.
Young Frankenstein.
Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
Sky means business.
Starring Gene Wilder as Dr. Frankenstein.
That's Frankenstein.
Peter Boyle as the monster.
Wow!
Marty Feldman as Igor.
My grandfather used to work for your grandfather.
I'm sure we'll get along splendidly. Oh!
Boris Leachman as Frau Blucher. And Madeline Kahn as Elizabeth.
What are you going to do to me? I'm not afraid of you.
Kill the monster!
See Mel Brooks' Young Frankenstein.
Yes, I think we could all use a good laugh.
But don't see it alone. Don't miss Young Frankenstein, personally directed by Mel Blazing Saddles Brooks, in black and white. No offense.
I guess it is October.
Yes.
So technically this could be one of our Halloween episodes.
Yes, exactly.
And now I'm trying to think, did anybody smoke cigars in the movie Halloween? Probably not.
I don't
or
think
in
so.
Any of the Freddy movies or
can't think
Jason
of any.
Movies?
No, can't think of any.
Huh.
So maybe this is our
Halloween. Well, we got a couple more in the month of October.
Well, we got
to do,
chance
so.
To check we'll things out and
yeah.
See what happens.
Yeah, there might be some other. If you guys can think of any, our 14 listeners that are listening,
right.
If you guys can think of anything that's horror movie related that has cigars involved in it, please let us know and we'll add that to the list for this month if we can squeeze it in.
Yep. Sounds like a plan.
So yeah, there's bound
to be. Young Frankenstein.
Young Frankenstein, yes.
Yes.
Frodrick.
Frodrick.
Dr. Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
You're putting me on.
No, it's pronounced Frankenstein.
Do you also say Frodrick?
No, Frederick.
Well, why isn't it Frodrick Frankenstein?
It isn't, it's Frederick Frankenstein.
I see.
You must be Igor.
No, it's pronounced Igor.
But they told me it was Igor.
Well, they were wrong then, weren't they?
Okay, this is an all-time classic.
It is.
And I'm going to actually go on a limb and say my favorite Mel Brooks movie.
I think it's my favorite Mel Brooks movie, too.
Everyone else has Blazing Saddles, and I love Blazing Saddles.
They're both very good, and they're both kind of really at the pinnacle of what he did. They're the acme,
yeah.
To use that word correctly,
yeah. Right.
of what he did. And you'd be hard-pressed to pick one or the other, but for me, Young Frankenstein is near and dear to my heart because I was such a fan of the old Universal horror flicks and the black and white movies
yeah,
of yore.
Absolutely.
And yes, I use the word yore.
That, you did say yore.
That it just really, to me, it was one out of the park. It was like right out of the
absolutely.
Park.
Absolutely. And to me, and we're just going right in the movie review. We didn't set up or do anything. We're just going right on in. But It's such a great movie. We've got so much to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
With it. But to me, it's the first... Me! Is there my voice correct there? Me!
To me, it's the first movie.
It's a good story. I like that movie. to me, it's the first true spoof that worked.
Yeah.
This spoofed an entire... Blazing Saddles spoofed an entire genre.
Yeah.
This one, it spoofed a specific movie.
Yeah.
And they got it right and all the nuances, you know, with the fire and the little girl, the missing girl. I mean, it was just, I just thought it was pure genius.
Even down to the, not only that, but even down to the lighting and the sets.
Yes.
And can you imagine how different this would be if Mel Brooks didn't win that fight? Because he fought tooth and nail to get the shot in black and white in a very film noir style. And the industry was like, you know, the movie company was like, no, you can't do that.
Why would you push back on that? That doesn't make any sense. It seems like if you're going to do a true spoof of a specific movie, you got to copy the movie as much as you possibly can. So I don't understand why they would resist, except for that color was new, relatively new at the time. And they thought, we have to be blah, blah, blah. But no, it wouldn't have worked in color.
Yeah, definitely.
As much as it was.
And I've seen some, you can, if you look online, you can find a bunch of still frames from, because back in the day, they don't really do it now. I guess they still do, but you don't see them as much. They did still frames from on the set, where it was, you know, they'd have a photographer go to the set and they'd take actual pictures of them shooting scenes and stuff. And but they were very staged, and you see those color pictures, and it just looks, it's like Technicolor, and, you know, Frankenstein's green. It just looks weird.
It does.
Even the lighting's different. It's not that film noir kind of lighting. I'm like, God, I'm glad they really didn't go that route.
Yeah.
And it would have cheapened the movie for sure.
And he was at the height of his game at that point. The studio was not going to tell him no at that point. You know, he was on top.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So if anybody doesn't know what this movie is about, shame on you, number one.
Yes. I don't care if you're 8 or 80, exactly. You should know what this movie is.
It's a spoof of the Frankenstein movies, the Universal Frankenstein movies, a very well-done one. And it's, you know, the same story. It's basically, this is the grandson.
Great-grandson of
Frankenstein, who's been told that he's got, you know, this castle to go see. I guess he's, you know, was willed to him.
Right.
So he goes up there to see it, and you know, he's fighting tooth and nail. He's like, I'm not Frankenstein, I'm Frankenstein. And he's trying to fight the name because he doesn't want to be associated with that name.
Right.
And then just gets dragged into everything when he gets there.
And
you've got a killer cast of people in this.
Cloris Leachman, Madeline Kahn, Terry Garr, the great Marty Feldman.
Yeah.
Gene Hackman. Gene Wilder.
All these great stars. And Gene Hackman has actually been quoted as saying that this is his favorite movie that he's ever made.
Really?
Like out of all the movies that he's made, that's
crazy.
His favorite movie.
That's awesome.
So that's cool, you know. So that says right there, speaks to the quality of the filmmaking.
Absolutely,
sure.
Absolutely.
So there's a lot of information about this movie on IMDb, and there's a lot of information out there in general. There's really great audio commentary if you're a movie nerd like me. And
I love listening to audio commentary.
Audio commentary on the Blu-ray for this and the DVD is fantastic. Mel Brooks is hilarious. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a really, really good audio commentary, and it talks to, you can't tell how much of it is truth and how much of it's BS, but on the surface, it's just really funny anyway. So if you happen to have the Blu-ray or the DVD sitting around, just pop it in one day when you're doing something around the house, turn up the audio and just listen to it. It's a great listen. Or if you're busy doing something around the house, you know, it's just a great way to pass some time.
It is.
And it's fantastic. Mel Brooks, one of the things that I thought was really cool about this is Mel Brooks, when he was making this film, he found that Ken Strickfaden, which is the guy who made all the electrical stuff for the original Frankenstein movies.
Wow, okay.
He contacted him because he's like, I want you guys to make the stuff for the set. I want it to really feel like an old, you know, old school Frankenstein movie. The guy still had the stuff.
Really?
The guy still had the stuff.
Wow.
And he had all of his equipment stored in his garage. So Brooks made a deal with him to rent the equipment for the film and gave him screen credit that he never got on the original Frankenstein movies for making all that stuff. Yeah.
Awesome.
So that's cool. So it's just awesome.
Yeah.
And
he achieved his immortality right there.
He did achieve his immortality through an interesting means. You know?
Right, yeah.
Can you think of another, like really another spoof that does the horror genre as good as Young Frankenstein did?
I mean, besides, not at all.
Like, I mean, you can't compare this to like the, one of those stupid movies that
the Scary Wayne
Brothers
stuff,
did, the Scary Movie stuff.
The closest I would come, and it's not even a true spoof, is Scream.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of a spoof within a real movie.
Yeah.
That's the closest. And, you know, like I said, that's not even a true spoof.
So Dracula Dead and Loving It doesn't cut it for you?
No, and I wanted that one to be so
good. I know,
good,
and that was Mel Brooks. You're like,
and Leslie
God,
Nielsen.
I know.
That was a dream team there.
It was, and it just didn't do it.
Yeah.
There was another one that I thought was pretty fun. Love at First Bite with
George Hamilton.
George Hamilton, I thought was pretty fun.
Or Todd Vance is what we're calling him nowadays.
Exactly.
That's what we're calling him nowadays.
But not even near as funny or as classic, but it was good. It was actually pretty good at the time.
Yeah, I can't really think of anything else. But this one's just a cheat. Okay, so we were setting up the plot.
Yeah.
So he inherits this castle in Transylvania where the original Dr. Frankenstein lived.
Mm-hmm.
And he's greeted by the old hag that's run the place for years, Cloris Leachman.
Yeah.
Who's funny.
Who wasn't really old. What's funny is Cloris Leachman wasn't old at the time.
But she was like Betty White, and she always looked old.
Yeah,
no matter
exactly.
How, you know. Hasn't Betty White been 90 for like 55
yeah,
years?
Something like that.
And Cloris Leachman's the same way, but there's a funny... Okay, I didn't get this as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't... It took me... I've probably seen the movie 10 times as a teenager before I went, oh, the Frau Blücher.
I am Frau Blücher.
Ooh.
Every time I say the name, the horses go...
It is the German word for glue.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's funny as shit.
That's one of those jokes that just, it skims over your head when you're a kid.
You kind of think it's funny.
Yeah.
Why the horses laugh at her, you know.
First, you think it's because it's her and she's kind of scary.
Yeah,
you know, that's
right.
Kind of what the joke is assumed that way.
But and there's some,
becomes something else.
This movie's got it all. It's got sight gags. It's got witty dialogue. The sight gags are great, though.
Yeah, they really are great.
And then the combination of the sight gag with the dialogue is even better.
Yeah.
And nice knockers.
Oh, thank you, doctor. And a lot of the stuff is ad-lib, too. I mean, you got to let these guys do their thing. So the shifting hump on Igor's back.
Igor.
It was Marty Feldman's little thing he just did. And they'd done it back and forth for several days before anybody noticed it, and then they worked it into the script. So
jeez, that's funny. That's funny as hell. And then you can't overlook the greatness of Gene Wilder. God, was he. He's so underrated today. Nobody
really acknowledges him.
That dude, he was hitting home run after home run there for a while.
Yeah. Between his own movies and the stuff he did with Richard Pryor.
They were awesome together.
Stuff,
yeah.
You know, Stir Crazy and all those movies. And
right.
Silver Streak is probably the closest, if you think about it, to really spoofing another genre very well. Silver Streak was a great spoof of
the disaster movies.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, it was more of a Albert Hitchcockian kind of Strangers on a Train type thing.
It's still awesome.
That was pretty darn close. And that's I'd say it's a classic, but it's a classic people have kind of forgotten.
Kind of underground classic nowadays.
But that was a really good one. And Stir Crazy kind of spoofed the old chain gang movies and stuff like that. But that's pretty cool. I mean, to be in two that are actually considered up there is pretty well. He did a lot of great movies, though. I mean, Gene Wilder, to me, I always counted on Gene Wilder for being funny, and there's very few of his movies that I can't watch.
Yeah, exactly.
Even go as far as like The Woman in Red, which was not a great movie, but he was
funny in it.
He's funny in it.
Yeah,
he's funny
great in
it.
In it.
You know, the premise was but it was still an interesting movie.
You got to see What's-Her-Name Snatch, so that was
cool. I mean, butt-ass naked PG-13, like full frontal. I'm like, wow. Yeah. You know, that was back in the day when they didn't, you know.
Right.
You remember the catalyst there. We're going to go a little bit off subject, but there is. I will go to my grave, you know, saying that this actually happened. So there's a movie, I want to say it was Doc Hollywood. Remember the movie Doc Hollywood?
Yeah. Barely.
With Michael J. Fox.
Yeah.
So there's a scene in that movie. I saw it in the theater. It was PG-13. There's a scene in the movie when he's there and she's walking out of the water.
Yeah.
Full frontal nudity.
Mm-hmm.
Full frontal. You can see her from far away, bush and all.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a close-up where she walks up right into the camera, bush up. I was like, what? And then he's just like, wow. And then, you know, she takes the robe and puts it on and like, oh, you're a doctor. It's no big deal, you know.
Right.
When it came out on video, they re-edited it.
They figured it out.
Yeah. They
figured
they left. They figured it did. It's a word. They left it. They left the long scene. So you still see the bush in the long scene. But the close take, they zoomed it in. They did the old pan and scan zoom in on her. So you can see the video quality goes down the tubes where they just zoom up on her boobs and that's it.
Nice.
I was like, wow.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So the LaserDisc of it, though, still has the original version of it. That's the only way you can get the original version. When they released it on VHS and DVD and whatever else since then, it's always been zoomed in. So.
Okay.
Yeah, PG-13.
Wow. Bush. Crazy. Crazy stuff.
So this one's kind of neat, little factoid here. In 1974, the rock band Aerosmith took a break from their long night of recording to see this film. And this film was the inspiration for the song Walk This Way.
Gotcha. And I have an interesting thing about Walk This Way, but that's awesome. That's cool. I remember as a kid.
Walk this way.
Yeah. I remember as a kid meaning teenager, comedy was my thing. I actually thought I would be a stand-up comedian at one point. And then I realized I can't write stuff. I can't write funny stuff. So anyway, I was watching this thing. It was like called like 100 Years of Comedy or whatever. And it kind of broke down the huge splices of movies, you know, stuff. And they would break it down by gag. And because 90% of comedy, even still to this day, still goes back to vaudeville. That's just the way it is. And that Walk This Way thing, they've showed the different variations of it. I mean, if you think about it, it's in Private Eyes. They used that gag in Private Eyes. They used it big a lot of time in Abbott Costello movies.
Yep.
Kind of stuff. This thing had been used forever. And then, of course, leave it to Mel Brooks to take a different approach to it. Because usually it's like, walk this way. And they mimic the guy, and then the guy gets all offended because you're walking the way he walks.
Yeah.
No. But this one, it's like, no, really, walk this way. You know, it's like, it was awesome. Yeah, it was just a funny take on that gag.
Yeah,
that
for sure.
Been around forever, you know? So that's awesome. So he inherits the house. He gets there. He's got to deal with that. He meets Igor, Marty Feldman, the humpback. Funny. God. I love that. What's it, your hump on the other side? What hump?
What hump?
Or whatever. Eventually, he gets sucked in, and he decides he wants... He starts reading his grandfather's, or great-grandfather, whoever it is.
Diary.
His diaries. And so he decides he wants to create life.
Yeah, and with the prodding of Cloris Leachman as well, she keeps doing things to kind of lead
him
in that direction.
It's yeah. Like,
he was my boyfriend! She's so great in this movie.
She is. And,
Warm milk. No. Ovaltine.
Ovaltine.
It's the random shit that comes out in this movie. It's so genius.
And so, of course, so they got to find a body. That scene's hilarious. Yep. They're trying to dig up the body and, oh, you're freezing. Could be worse. How's that? Could be raining.
It starts raining, yeah.
That's awesome. So the great Peter Boyle. Oh, we didn't mention him in the credits earlier.
Yeah.
The great Peter Boyle. Yeah, hilarious.
Peter Boyle does an awesome job.
And it falls upon Igor to find the brain that they want to put in this thing. And, you know, the names, the labels on the brains are hilarious. You know, that's funny. And
yep.
So he finds the brain that he's supposed to get. Well, he drops it and shatters the glass. So he ruins the brain. So he selects an abnormal brain.
Now, that brain that you gave me, was it Hans Delbrück's? No. Ah. Good. Would you mind telling me whose brain I did put in?
And you won't be angry?
I will not be angry.
Abby someone.
Abby who?
Abby Normal.
Abby Normal.
I'm almost sure that was the name.
Are you saying that I put an abnormal brain into a 7.5 foot long, 54 inch wide gorilla?
What?
Is that what you're telling me? Quick, get up!
Gene Wilder's delivery is so awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And then, of course, so Peter Boyle, it works. You know, he does the experiment, the electricity and everything. Boom. Frankenstein's monster's back. And it's Peter Boyle. And for somebody who doesn't say but a couple of words in the whole movie, he was awesome. Mostly it's, yep. So then it kind of follows the path of, you know, the little girl. You know, it doesn't happen the exact same way. It kind of is a funny way that hat plays out with the little girl. Then he stumbles across the blind man. Which is where the cigars come in.
Where the cigar is in the movie.
You're gonna take that
halfway,
part
about the halfway mark. You get a very great scene with the great Gene Hackman, which we love. We just talked about him on our Crimson Tide episode. Yeah. And this is Gene Hackman doing comedy, which he was uncredited when when the movie was released. He wasn't credited at all, so it was a complete surprise for anybody going to the theater.
Yeah, because
he
just done French Connection, just won Academy Award for it.
Yeah. And to go from that to this is just awesome.
Yeah. You
know, it's a great scene. I mean, it's a great song.
A visitor is all I ask. A temporary companion to help me pass a few short hours in my lonely life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, no, 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 don't speak. Don't speak. Don't say a word. Oh, my joy.
boy, and my prize from heaven. Oh, you must have been the tallest one in your class. My name is Harold, and I live here all alone. What is your name? I didn't get that.
And of course, Frankenstein's afraid of fire.
Yep.
He's like, so he gets some soup, and he's blind, so he can't pour the soup in the ladle. And then Peter Paul does the take where he looks at the camera
and just goes, "Ah." That's a great scene.
Cigars.
No, fire is good. Fire is our friend. Lights his thumb on fire, and that's what makes him freak out and leave. Now, when he leaves and crashes out the door, Gene Hackman has a great line.
Great line.
Oh, wait. I was going to make espresso. Which was an ad lib.
Was it an ad lib?
It was ad lib on the set. Nice. And the reason it fades to black so swiftly is because he didn't tell anybody he was going to do that. Mm-hmm. And when he did it, the cast and crew just went nuts and started crying, like they were just going nuts. They had to cut it so fast.
That's awesome.
To cut out the laughter of the scene on that.
So. I was going to make espresso. And I think we've said it before, but Anchorman 2 had a scene that they could have used that line, and I wish they had because they set it up. It was so Young Frankenstein like.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't say that line, and it was like, if he'd have said that, I think Anchorman 2 would have made $50 million
more. Right.
But, you know, so obviously now he's created this monster, so now the town turns on him. Meanwhile, you got the Madeline Kahn character, who's just funny as hell.
Yeah.
And she winds up hooking up with...
with Frankenstein.
Sweet mystery.
Well, you have that moment in the movie where Terry Garr's like, wait a minute, so everything has to be bigger. So is this as big? I was like, well, he has to have an enormous Fongsnitter. Like,
exactly.
Yes, yes, he would. So that gets tested.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things. I mean, when I was a kid, I went and saw this in the theater with my parents, and there's a lot of inappropriate stuff in this. But there's nothing, there's no nudity, really. There's no, you know, there's really no language to it. It's all kind of under the radar. It kind of goes back.
There's some Yiddish words.
It harkens back to, like, the old cartoon days of the Bugs Bunny cartoons,
yes.
Where as a kid, there's so much sexual innuendo and stuff that you don't even
get it.
But it's there.
Yeah.
And if you watch them now, it's totally different. So, I mean, to watch this movie now, if you've only seen Young Frankenstein when you were younger and your parents forced you to watch a black and white movie that was supposed to be funny and you didn't think it was funny, watch it again.
Yeah.
It is a fantastic movie. Just great comedy, great writing, great cinematography. The lighting's awesome. It just all really meshes very well into one cohesive awesomeness that
it
is.
It's a top 10 movie for me.
It's definitely.
It's a top 10.
Most definitely a stop down for me. Anytime I get a chance to see it, I take the time to watch it. It's a yearly watch for us and our family. It's one of the Halloween movies.
Yeah, you have
to.
It's a must. It's a must see.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, we'll forgive you, but watch it soon.
Yeah, definitely. So here's some of the IMDb trivia, which we like to do. So this is pretty interesting here. Mel Brooks initially thought the Walk This Way gag was too corny and wanted to cut it from the film. But when he saw the audience's reaction, he decided, okay, I'll leave it in. The film was actually quite a bit longer. It was supposedly like twice that length. Original cut of the movie is almost twice as long as the final cut. It was considered by all involved to be an abysmal failure. It was only after a marathon cutting session that they produced the final cut of the film, for which Gene Wilder and Mel Brooks both considered far superior to the original product. At one point, they noted that for every joke that worked, there were three that fell flat, so they cut out all three that fell flat.
Oh, cool. All right.
So, wow, that's pretty interesting
stuff. That's thinking ahead. That's good.
The cast, and especially Mel Brooks, had so much fun and were so upset when principal photography was almost complete that Mel added scenes to continue shooting.
That's really? They were just having fun?
Doing the film,
Nice.
The Mel Brooks usually appears in his own movies, but Gene Wilder insisted that Brooks not appear in the film. He felt that Brooks' appearance would ruin the illusion and would only make the film... if Brooks promised not to be in it. Brooks did, however, make an off-camera appearance as the Howling Wolf.
Oh, okay.
So, Wolf, there, Castle. Why are you talking that way?
I thought we were supposed to.
I thought you wanted me to. So,
Wolf, there, Castle.
Wow. So, this is the thing I was telling you about. Mel Brooks went to Columbia Pictures and wanted to shoot in black and white. They refused. The very next day, he went to 20th Century Fox, and Alan Ladd Jr. was very accommodating.
Nice.
So, yeah. Gene Wilder conceived of the putting on the Ritz scene, while Mel Brooks was resistant to the mere as a mere conceit and felt that it would detract from the fidelity of the Universal horror films and the rest of the film. Wilder recalls being close to rage and tears, arguing for the scene to be done. Brooks finally stopped him and said, "Fine, it's in." When he finally saw it with the cast and crew on the day that it went through, he was confident that the sequence was
a good awesome. Thing.
I think it also the fact that. He does knock the light out, and it goes into a kind of a scared moment. It takes it into that next level, and, you know, it kind of legitimizes the scene.
And I didn't see the whole movie, but the Godzilla with Jack Black?
Yeah.
Was it Godzilla?
No, King Kong.
King Kong.
Yeah.
They kind of, there's a scene like that.
Yeah.
Where they're parading King Kong up and down the stage and everything, and then he gets all pissed off. And the second I saw that, I was like, wow, that's a total ripoff of Young Frankenstein.
Right, right.
I mean, he didn't sing Putting on the Ritz, but Putting on the Ritz! So funny. Super duper!
So Terry Garr was originally supposed to take the Elizabeth role, the fiancé.
Yeah.
The fiancé. What did they say it weird in the movie? They said it in a weird way. Madeline Kahn was a frontrunner for Inga, the assistant, but Kahn ultimately decided she'd rather play Elizabeth, leaving Mel Brooks with the task of recasting Inga. Undaunted, he called Garr in and asked her if he could do a German accent, and she did, and there you go. So
so funny. She was great in that.
Yeah, she was.
And they're both knockouts in that
movie
at the time.
Gorgeous, yeah.
They were really
gorgeous.
Pretty ladies.
According to Mel Brooks in the commentary for Spaceballs, when Gene Wilder came on the cast for Blazing Saddles, he requested that Mel Brooks do his movie idea next. The movie turned out to be Young Frankenstein.
So. Nice.
Good. Very cool, very cool.
Put the candle back. Great scene. Okay, whatever you do not put the candle back.
Yeah, Premiere voted this as one of the top 50 greatest comedies of all time in 2006. I definitely agree with that.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, there's so many great moments in this movie. If you haven't seen it, or if it's been a long time since you've seen it, definitely take the time to watch it again. What's his name? Kenneth Mars, who played the guy with the
weird arm.
Yeah, the weird arm. That was ad lib, apparently, too. And the dart thing with him taking the darts and sticking them in the thing. Yeah. That was an ad lib as well.
Nice. That's funny.
A lot of good stuff in there. And Kenneth Mars, for those people who are Disney fans, was King Triton in Little Mermaid.
Oh, wow. There's a nerd moment there.
Yeah, that's a nerd moment. For all you dads out there that have to watch that crap. So, yeah, it's just great stuff, man. It's one of my all-time favorites. You know, Mel Brooks, as far as his go, for me, it'd be Young Frankenstein number one, Blazing Saddles number two. Spaceballs is probably number three for me. Mm-hmm. Real close tie with High Anxiety, because I did like High Anxiety a lot.
Oh, High Anxiety.
Did you not like High Anxiety?
I love that scene with the vampire teeth and the rubber band.
It was awesome.
That's one of the greatest.
Awesome.
I mean, I fell down. I almost puked. I laughed so hard at that scene. Because I didn't see it as a kid, because my parents thought it was too dirty.
Yeah. You know? I loved the whole, that one guy, can I kill him? Tell me I can kill him. Can I kill him? And then he's like trying to choke him in the phone booth when he's trying to call Madeline Kahn. She thinks it's a crank caller. She's like, who is this? You're a monster. What are you wearing?
Well, no, there's a horror movie spoof right there.
There is another one, yeah. You did very, very good with
it. Oh, God. But I'm watching this with my ex-wife at the time. This is like one of her favorite movies. She would always sing that song, High Anxiety. So I'm like, I've never seen that. She's like, oh, we're watching it. So the thing with the vampire teeth and the paper clips and stuff.
Yep.
I mean, I did. I fell down and laughed so hard I almost puked. I was laughing so hard at that scene. Because it's like, how stupid. It was so stupid.
It was so
genius, because Harvey Korman and Milford, they pull it off perfectly. That was one scene. If one person had a flaw in their performance, the scene wouldn't have worked.
Yeah.
But they both nailed it. And I mean, I almost puked. I laughed so hard.
It's definitely a funny moment. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so those, I mean, you know, High Anxiety and Spaceballs are kind of right up there. I've seen Spaceballs more over time just because a lot of people like it in the family and stuff, but High Anxiety is definitely one of the faves for me, too. It's just awesome.
Oh, that would be third, and then Spaceballs would be fourth.
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I
do watch High Anxiety, though. That movie. It's a spoof of Hitchcock movies.
It is a spoof of Hitchcock movies. Yeah. A very well-made spoof.
You got the birds syringes on a train. You got the whole scenario in
there. Vertigo, everything. Yeah. He throws everything in there.
Yeah.
Everything that he can.
It's genius.
Yeah. That's back when Mel was knocking him out of the park.
I'm going to have to go to YouTube that scene tonight, because that's going to have to see it. Of course, with my bronchitis, I'll be laughing so hard, I'll cough myself to death.
Right.
But
so, I mean, I also liked the producers a lot. It was an earlier movie for Mel. It wasn't as well
And it
well
bombed
known.
Pretty much. It didn't. Wasn't until it came out on Broadway that
And it was,
well.
You know, Gene. It was Gene Wilder again, so you got to love Gene. You know, Gene, they were a great.
And Marty Feldman was in that, too.
Yeah, a great combination together. But, you know, that's one of the ones that I came to after the fact, after I'd already seen all the other ones.
Right.
So it was a little not as funny, but still, you know, it had its moments. And it's grown on me. I like it a lot more now. The 12 Chairs I've never seen.
Never seen it.
Was the one he did after the producers. Huh. Then he did Blazing Saddles and then Young Frankenstein. He did a TV movie called Free to Be You and Me, which I've never seen.
That's with Marlo Thomas.
The 2000-Year-Old Man. That, you know, was awesome. That's just more of a
him
snippet.
Carl Reiner,
silent movie. which was okay.
I wasn't crazy about Silent
Movie.
It was
okay. History of the World Part 1 is also pretty darn funny.
Very funny. Very irreverent, but very funny.
Yep. Yeah, that was one. I like it. It's just, it has a lot of, there's a lot of downtime in it. To me, there's a lot of not so funny moments.
And he was
moments.
Throwing a lot against the wall, hoping that something would stick.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff.
Spaceballs was the next one after History of the World, and I think that was a little better than History of the World. Life Stinks was awful. I remember not liking that. Robin Hood Men in Tights.
There's a lot of stuff I like in that movie, but for the most part, there were some bad things.
That was probably the last good
decent one
he made
that
he directed, because then after that was Dracula Dead and Loving It, and that was awful.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, for everybody involved. But
yeah.
But he's still, you know, he's written a lot. He's done a lot of stuff since then. Apparently, he wrote the Get Smart screenplay, which I didn't know.
You didn't know that? He and Buck Henry created Get Smart.
Oh, well, the TV show, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he had something to do with the movie as well.
Oh, did he?
So,
okay.
Yeah. So he still had a lot of stuff.
I probably just gave him credit as the creator.
He did write the Broadway producers and do all the music. So all the music was him, too, which if you've ever seen that?
Oh, yeah.
The one with the movie
Springtime for Hitler and stuff.
Great stuff. Yeah. It's still very funny, very Mel Brooks too. But
that was one of my favorite seasons of Curb Your Enthusiasm. Was that the beginning of the season? Larry David's singing karaoke, and Mel Brooks and Anne Bancroft are in the audience. And it starts with them in a bar talking about the success of the producers is really just too much. You know, we just need this thing to end so we can get our lives back and blah blah blah.
Yeah.
So they hear Larry David singing karaoke, and he's not that good. They're like, we'll cast him in the producers, and that way it'll bomb, and we can get our life.
Oh, wow.
So the whole season is Larry preparing for the producers, and Mel and Ann like, yeah, we got it, you know. So it winds up being good.
It's the producers being the producers. It's like the producers producing the producers.
It was wow. It's a great season. I like to learn that season, too. It's awesome.
God, I stopped watching that show pretty soon after it started. I don't know if it was just because I wasn't
genius.
On. I didn't have HBO or whatever, but
yeah. Oh, that show's genius. I've got all seasons. I'll own that season.
Okay, yeah,
too.
Definitely want to check it out.
Right, and that could be coming back. We got news.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Talk about it next segment.
That's cool. All right, so we are going to take a little break. We'll come back for the next segment and talk about all kinds of goodies. We'll be back. All right, we're back for the next segment of the show. And what are we talking about, Randy?
Stuff.
Awesome.
Cigars in cinema stuff.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued.
Hence the name.
Jeez. Movie news? We got some movie news,
Movie news. So we were just referencing Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
Not a movie, but still, it's on HBO. Very popular show.
Yeah, mostly
everybody
entertainment news.
Yes, entertainment news. It's a very popular show. Hasn't been on in 5 years.
Yep.
But
it's
Larry
been
David's,
off the air that long?
It's been off the air 5 years.
Wow.
Well, Larry David can do what he wants when he wants
because
he's Larry David and he's got a bazillion dollars. But he just has to wait for the creative stuff to come along. And, you know, if you remember correctly, you know, The Sopranos would take a couple of years off in between seasons.
Yeah.
So he never said that the last season that they did was the last season. He just said, we're not doing it for a while. Well, the rumor is that he's ready to come back and HBO's open arms. So that'll be cool. I'm looking forward to, hopefully that'll start filming soon. Are you about to sneeze?
Who do you think has more? No, I'm fine. Who do you think has more money, Larry David or Jerry Seinfeld?
It's probably Seinfeld because he performs also.
Yeah,
but Larry David's doing fine.
Yeah.
I don't think he's hurting. I mean, I've heard estimates of $400 to $600 million.
Oh, damn!
How much Larry David has? Yeah,
yeah.
He's a wealthy dude.
A wealthy, wealthy
and the thing
miser.
About that is, as a kid, I loved Jesse James stuff and things like that, and I always thought, if I knew I wasn't going to get killed and nobody else was going to get killed, I'd like to see if I could rob a bank just for fun, to see if I could do that. So I kind of think the same thing as someone who would like to be an actor.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be cool to just shoot for a day with those people because it's all ad-lib. He just gives you a frame of reference and it's ad-lib. I just think it'd be fun for a day to see if you could keep up with those people, knowing full well you couldn't. But to see if it... kind of like golf. Even if you suck at golf, if you hit one good shot, you're happy that you had a good round of golf because you hit one good shot. And I think if that were the circumstance where I'm with all these heavyweights trying to ad-lib a scene, and if I got one good line out, I'd be like, hell yeah, I got one good line out. That's awesome. But, you know, that's what he does. He doesn't write a script for the season, for the episodes at all. And he only casts people that he trusts that can pull off the ad-lib portion of it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Pretty impressive. And then when you watch the show and you know that behind it, you're like, it's even more impressive, you know. Whereas Seinfeld was scripted. Everything was scripted.
I got to think that would be an editor's nightmare.
Oh, probably is.
That show.
Yeah, it probably is. But it's only a 10-episode season, so it's not a ton of work. Well, it's a ton of work. It's just you don't have to do it a lot of times, you know.
Yeah.
So, you got any movie news?
Lots of stuff, yeah. So, this one was just kind of, it's really more entertainment news, but I thought it was kind of funny. I read this the other day. Quentin Tarantino is not a fan of Netflix.
Really?
He still watches movies on Laserdisc, VHS, and DVD.
Really? Wow.
And he says he still has a VCR, and when he sees something he wants to add to his collection, he records it on videotape. And adds it to his collection. He has like over 3,000 videotapes.
Wow.
Can you imagine being that just committed to old technology?
Yeah, well, that's where he got started. He worked at a video store.
Exactly. Yeah. But I mean, come on, guy.
You can afford the Blu-ray.
Yeah, all his movies are on friggin' Netflix and Blu-ray. And he doesn't have any of them in that format.
Spend the $9.99 a month. It's not that tough.
Yep. I was laughing my ass off when I read
that's
that.
Funny.
I mean, I still have Laserdisc, but not by choice. It's because I can't sell the damn things. They're worthless.
Right.
You know,
right.
But I have them.
Right.
Don't have working Laserdisc player. I'm probably just going to end up giving away to somebody. But if anybody wants a big stack of Laserdisc, you pay the shipping, I'll send them to you.
There you go.
If anybody wants that. Apparently, they're remaking The Exorcist. Did you hear this?
I heard, but I thought I heard yesterday they shut it down.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. Apparently, the rights holders are saying, we'll see. It may not be a thing. So, the first 3D porn movie is being made.
Porn? So
yeah, porn. We're getting a 3D porn movie. Watch the trailer? It's right here.
3D porn.
I don't think that's...
That just be sex,
wouldn't
it?
Be sex, yeah. But you have to wear glasses. Sex with glasses. Yeah, so I don't know, man.
And Robert Englund is campaigning to be the next Freddy Krueger.
Who would have thunk?
Yeah.
Who would have thunk?
And I don't blame him. If you're going to reboot it, why not bring back the original? I mean, come on. I mean, the guy from Bad News Bears was good, but he wasn't Robert Englund.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Robert Englund's not... Freddy Krueger's not like Michael or Jason. He actually has personality.
Yeah, exactly.
And Robert Englund nailed it. So why not just let him keep playing it, you know?
Yeah, I agree. So this is one for you right here. Enchanted 2 is in development.
Oh, yes, because I loved the first one.
Yeah, you're a big fan of the first one.
Yeah.
So what do you think will win the box office this weekend? Do you think the Hotel Transylvania 2 or The Martian? The one with Matt Damon.
Matt Damon's pretty big. He opens pretty well.
You're saying but I'm right now predictions are going to Hotel Transylvania just because it's a family movie.
Yeah.
And apparently that's the only successful movies that Adam Sandler could make now are family movies.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Although he was, and I didn't fall for it this time, but he was one of those celebrity hoax deaths this morning. Did you see that?
Adam Sandler was?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't see that. The Kingsman 2 is on the way, which I like The Kingsman, so that'll be cool. Resident Evil 6, they're making another Resident Evil movie.
Wow.
Longest running video game series into a movie ever. Some more pictures of The Revenant, that one that we know that, or you know that guy. Trainspotting 2? Really? There's a Trainspotting 2 on the way.
Okay. I thought there had already been a part 2.
No. Wow, that's pretty cool. So that's kind of interesting. That's about it, really. Batman versus Superman's getting solo character trailers. There's some news on that, some interesting stuff. People are saying now that they're cutting back on the Superman in Batman versus Superman, that people have seen the screenings of it and they want more Batman, less Superman. So that's interesting. Like, it's supposed to be the next Superman movie, and now it's becoming another Batman movie.
Yeah.
So,
when there's not going to be another Superman movie, I said.
I don't know. Yeah, well, they're saying that they're going to go straight from Batman versus Superman to another Batman series with Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
Instead of making another Superman.
And the only
movie.
Time Superman will come back is Justice League or something like that.
That's crap.
Okay, first of all, in superheroes, and I'm not a superhero guy, but Superman's the best, period. Sorry, you're all wrong if you don't think that. He can do everything, except for lead and kryptonite. Yeah. He's fine. And there's no way Batman would win a fight against Superman. It just wouldn't happen. Batman's a normal person.
He had a lead suit with a
made out of kryptonite
necklace, or something.
But in just a straight-on fight.
Shot kryptonite.
Yeah.
There you go.
Straight-on fight, there's no way anybody beats Superman.
Yeah.
You know?
I think Superman is one of those characters that's plagued by the fact that he is the ultimate guy.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when you look at the origins of Superman, and our buddies over at Phil Fullman, who has a podcast called This Might Hurt. So we'll talk about it. They had an episode where they did comic book stuff, and they talked about this, that Superman, when he first started out, He wasn't flying. He could leap tall buildings in a single bound. He didn't fly. That didn't happen until they turned it into a television cartoon series, and then all of a sudden he's flying, and then now he's flying the comics and everything else. And they kept like adding superpowers to him. It's like, oh, he's got this power. Now he's got that power.
Well, yeah, I do remember Superman 2 when he could do the lasers out of his eye. I'm like, yeah, where did that come from? Exactly. I didn't know he could do that.
You know, so it's like it just kept adding more and more and more until basically he's just godlike. And I think that doesn't help his story. Because
Well, I think his origin, too, isn't... He doesn't come from a dark place. I mean, yeah, but he was a baby, so he doesn't know that his planet got destroyed.
Yeah.
You know? And he's raised by a loving couple, so he doesn't have a dark place that he's coming from.
Yeah.
He just had to grow up feeling weird and awkward because he was so much better.
The thing that's interesting about Superman is that it wasn't something that he had to do. It was a choice.
Yeah.
It's like he chooses to use these powers for good and to help humanity.
Right.
Whereas Batman, it's all about revenge, and you know, most of these other guys, it's all about revenge. When you look at the mutants with the X-Men, it's like, oh, I'm treated differently because I'm different, so you know, it's very much a different profile.
Superman's more wholesome than the rest of them are,
and I think that's part of why he's not as popular nowadays, because it's hard to get people to care about that character. And that's why I think the new Superman movie, The Man of Steel, he was a little more angsty and had to deal with some personal issues before he could come out and be a hero, you know, which I was okay with, but you know, I don't know.
I've never been a Batman guy. I like the Adam West Batman. That's my Batman. That is my Batman of choice.
I was a comic book Batman before the Adam West stuff. And to me, when the Adam West stuff came out, I was like, that's an abomination. What is this crap?
Yeah.
And I watched it because it was on, and I, you know, it was funny, but it was basically it's like someone coming out and, you know, like Zorro the Gay Blade. It's like, you know, Zorro is a serious character. He's been in, you know, part of, you know, the culture for a long time, and now you got this Zorro the Gay Blade who's making fun of Zorro, basically.
Mm-hmm.
For people who are big Zorro fans, that was like, what? You know, so it's kind of like that.
Yeah, but like I said, not a comic guy or superhero guy anyway, but so I prefer Superman and Adam West Batman.
Okay.
Never really cared about Spider-Man.
Well, you are in the minority, my friend.
I know, everyone loves Spider-Man. Jeez.
Spider-Man I'm okay with.
Although I've heard that they're getting tired of Spider-Man and that they're going to slow down on the production
Of Spider-Man movies. I think they're not doing... It's kind of that he's going the same route as the Superman thing, where he's going to appear in the various little other projects as part of one of the characters within his own series.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't been able to really get that right the last couple times. So, it is what it is. But yeah, more superhero movies coming. There'll be a crap ton more.
So when are they going to do... Shazam.
Shazam? I don't know. Who knows?
You or know ISIS. No way. We just can't do ISIS anymore. Yeah. They ruined that.
They kind of screwed it up for everybody, didn't they?
Yeah. Do you remember the ISIS Shazam hour on Saturday mornings? That was awesome.
I do, yeah. I had a cat named ISIS at one point.
Did you really? Yeah. Yikes.
Yeah. Well, this is way before.
I know, before we knew anything about it.
Those jackasses came in and took that
shit away. Ruined our stuff.
Messed up our superheroes.
And my mom used to have a saying, God, so stupid. ISIS, come and help us in our crisis. Like, stop saying that. Stop saying that. And now we definitely don't want that to happen.
No, for sure not.
Lord,
sure
I apologize.
Jeez. There's no need to apologize.
No, I loved Shazam. Shazam was awesome.
Yeah, Shazam was fun. Yeah, Shazam was fun.
Oh, kid, who was the other? Oh, never mind. I think that was ISIS.
Yeah.
She had her sidekick girl, and she could turn into powers.
I don't know, man.
I don't remember.
I remember, like, very little about my childhood from television. I mean, there was shows I watched, but for the most part, it was like I'd watch one or two episodes, and then I was going outside and playing. I wasn't.
Oh, what did I see the other day? It was like the 40th anniversary of the first episode of Land of the Lost.
Oh, yeah?
It was this past week.
Did you ever see that movie with Will Ferrell?
No.
What did you think of that? Oh, you didn't watch
it. I didn't see it. Did you see it?
It was entertaining. It was really...
I loved the TV show.
Yeah. It's kind of, it's a slap in the face, the TV show, but it's still pretty fun. There's moments in it that are pretty fun. Yeah.
Anna for real. And she's redhead, and I don't like redheads, but I like her.
Yeah.
She's a doll.
Just check it out. It's a pretty funny movie.
I might try it. Yeah.
Pretty fun.
I wanted to see it, but it got such bad reviews that I was like, okay.
It's worth a Netflix watch, or if it's on, you know, cable or whatever, it's definitely worth a watch.
Guess what I did?
What's that?
Something I never do.
You...
I started a TV series.
Took a bath. What? What'd you...
No, it's not till next week.
So oh, okay. What'd you start?
I started Longmire.
Oh, God.
Have you started it?
No.
It's good.
Eh.
Watch the first episode. It was solid, dude.
I didn't like it.
The only problem... When did you see it?
I got like four episodes in and I gave up on it. I liked it. I didn't like it.
Problem I have with it is, it's that it should be called Jesse Stone in the West.
Right.
It's the same movie. It's the same plot, same everything.
Yeah.
It even has the same like shooting. It's shot the same way.
Yeah.
He's a drunk. Well, he's not really a drunk, but he's a loner, misses his wife. Only thing he's good at is his cop job. He's smarter than everybody else. And, you know,
I guess
it's
for me,
Jesse Stone.
For me, I was already into Justified. I watched that. And then when I saw Longmire, I'm like, this is just kind of like another trying to be Justified, but not as edgy. I'll just watch Justified. So I never watched Longmire.
So I saw the first two episodes of Justified and never went back to it.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go back to Longmire. I liked it. Yeah. Plus, I got that cute chick that was...
Katie Sackhoff. See, I don't think she's cute. I just said cute. Katie Sackhoff.
She's cute, though.
She doesn't do it for me.
Her personality's cute.
Yeah. Yeah, good luck with that, man. Have fun with Longmire.
I'm not saying I'm going to last very long.
It changed, I think it had like a couple seasons, and then it changed to somebody else. So it's on two different networks, I think.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I think it was on whatever it was the first couple seasons, and then I think Netflix took it over or something like that. I don't know the history of it, but I know that it got canceled at some point and then came back.
Well, I know Netflix is doing it now. So
Yeah. So
that's I think it was AMC to begin with or something.
Maybe something like that, yeah.
Probably.
But, yeah, let me know how it turns out for you. I thought you were going to say Narco. We were talking about Narco before.
Well, we were, but now I'm hearing mixed reviews on that, so I don't know.
Oh, really? Yeah, everybody at the shop, every shop I've gone to, people are talking about it.
So. Yeah.
I'll check it out. That'll be the one I attempt to watch. But even then, I don't have time.
I just don't like TV shows.
Yeah, I just get so behind on everything now.
You know?
I'm like, I think I've only seen like the first two episodes of Fear of the Walking Dead, and it's already on episode 4. I'm just like,
I thought they just did the last episode, no?
No. And I'll wait till it's over. And I'll just watch it all. I'll just binge watch it on the road, I guess, or something.
So it's not fun?
No, I just don't have time.
Somebody was telling me the other day it was really slow.
I just don't have time for it. I just don't have time to, I get home. I've got such a limited amount of time at home. I've got to wash clothes and spend the time with the family. And then that's really it, And you're back on the road again. You know how it is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I don't have time to watch shows. It's family time. So, and then I take them on the road with me and I never watch them. So, because I've always got work. So just don't have the time. Same thing with sports. That's why I don't commit to trying to watch sports or even trying to get into it. I just don't have the time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You still watch football, Cowboys and whatnot.
And sports. Well, I watch when the Rangers are playing well. It's not that I'm a front runner or a
fan.
Hot and cold fan, whatever it's called. Yeah. You can't remember. I'll always love the Rangers. I always support fair weather. I'm not a fair weather. I always love the Rangers, but I can't watch them all the time. But when they're playing well, I'll watch them because then it makes it more interesting. And they're right in the thick of it right now to go to the playoffs, so I'm watching that.
Mm.
And yes, I do watch football.
Yeah.
Basketball is whenever I can until the playoffs, then I'll watch the playoffs. But yeah, that's about it on sports.
See, I just can't make the time for it, man.
I could care less about hockey, or I couldn't care less about hockey.
Yeah.
Golf, I watch the majors, but that's about it.
No tennis?
No. I mean, it's fun to watch. I mean, it's interesting, but I just can't get into it.
No women's volleyball?
That I will watch. That's fun to watch. I don't even care what the ball. I don't even know. Is there a ball in women's volleyball?
I have no idea. They just jump up and down a lot. That's all I know.
That's it. In bikinis.
Yes.
In biking eyes.
Yes. All right. So what are we reviewing next week?
We are doing something a little different.
Oh, are we? We talked about that.
We're going to do TV shows in which cigars have played prominent roles.
Okay. So it's not just
one specific show. It's
going to
be
open forum discussion about, television. I've even got some comic books and video games we can throw in the mix here. So it's just kind of a discussion of other media that has cigar smoking in it as well.
Exactly.
So we're doing something a little different. So you don't have to watch a movie next week. You just have to listen in.
Think about the shows that you can remember.
Think about the shows that you can remember in your past.
Yes.
That affected you and made you want to smoke cigars.
And some that are current.
Yes. Yeah. All right. So where can they find us, Randy?
iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Stitcher, Podcastland, Podomatic, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube.
And YouTube. What's your Facebook? Instagram.
Instagram is going to change, so let's don't give that one out. My Twitter is at RandyRankin43.
At RandyRankin43. Okay. Let's start that over then. Where can people find you, Randy, on Twitter?
I am at RandyRankin43.
And I am at Captain Funky Pants. And you can find us at the show, official Twitter, of at CigarsINCinema, all one word. And let us know there what you think of the shows. Let us know what you want us to review. I got a private email from someone that was a listener on the Eclipso Cigar Review, Mark Pascucci. And he wants us to review Smoke.
We've got a lot of people that asked about that.
Yeah, so we probably need to get that one in the queue pretty soon.
That'll probably be the next movie one.
We got to find it, though, man. It's not hard. Those easy
it was there. On Netflix at one point because I saw it on Netflix.
Now, I think it's off. It's not on there anymore, so we're going to have to find it. But we'll look for Smoke. We'll get that in the queue here as one that we're going to do. And thanks.
The thing is, everyone wants us to do that. I didn't even think it was that good a movie.
I know. Okay. It might be our first bad review.
Maybe we'll like it.
Who knows? It's been a long time. Yeah. I don't think I was a cigar smoker when I watched it the first time, so it might be a little different now. Yeah. But, or at least I was, but I wasn't at that time. So.
Right.
Yeah, it's been a break from cigars for a while.
Gotcha. So.
But yeah, that'll be one of the ones in the mix. But yeah, next week's just more of an open discussion about television, everything else, every other media that has cigars in it. And don't forget to go over to Instagram too and check out the posts there. We're not posting a whole lot on that, but we're going to start ramping that up as well.
Yeah.
Some pictures of people smoking cigars and whatnot, and comment on those as well. Same thing for the at Instagram. It's at Cigars in Cinema.
Yes.
All right.
There we go.
All right. So we'll see you guys next week. And as always, it's been great smoking with you.
See you later, Brandon.
See you later, Randy.